Joining me now from Siuslaw River Station, U.S. Coast Guard, is Senior Chief Bosun's Mate Jay Nillis.
Yes,
how are you?
I am doing very well. Good morning.
Good morning. It's been a while since I've seen you.
It has. It's been busy.
Guess it has. Talk a little bit about what's been happening over there at the Coast Guard station in the past few months.
Fortunately, you know, it's been slow. I guess slow for us is good for the boating public. You know, our main mission really is to promote boating safety, keep everyone safe on the water. But, you know, if we're slow, that means the community is being safe on the water. And that really is our number one main goal.
Now, I guess in the last year, they had some serious events up in Newport that wasn't part of what you guys had to deal with. But we do have a pretty dangerous bar in general that people have to cross over, don't we?
Absolutely. Yeah. Our bar tends to break more than others just because of the depth of water that we have, the amount of water we have flowing out with the hazardous conditions that are present there. So we monitor it very closely as often as we can. We have cameras on it 24/7 that our watchstanders in our communication center can view. At times, we will put a member of our crew out in the tower there to visually monitor firsthand as well. So the tragic incidents up at Newport were very sad, very unfortunate. And the Coast Guard's goal overall really is that everyone comes back safe. And that was a very unfortunate incident.
Now, with the tides, which is worse? Going out, going in, slack, where is the worst time to try to cross the bar?
The best time for someone to come in is the flood, or high water. The more water you can get on that entrance, the better. It creates a deeper depth there on that shallow entrance. And presents usually the best conditions.
Does it make the surface less rocky? Not rocky as far as rocks, but as far as the motion of the...
Correct. So if you're standing on the beach and you look offshore, the waves aren't really breaking. You know, it's just a swell or a wave offshore. So as those waves get closer to the beach, they start to break in the shallow water. And that same kind of mentality can be applied to the entrance. You know, as that water gets more shallow, those waves are going to break. Now, when you've got a strong ebb tide or the water flowing out, meeting those waves coming in, that's where you can get some seriously hazardous conditions. So the best time for the boaters to be transiting that bar is high water or at least on the flood. Once the ebb starts to kick in, usually we've got an hour or two before the conditions start to get a little hazardous there. But fortunately, in the past few days, the bar's been, yesterday we were a little restricted there, picked up a little bit, but it's been nice. We've had some very good conditions over the past week or so.
Now, are there certain size or certain type boats that do better coming across the bar, or is it just depending on the time of day and how the ocean's acting?
Well, there's a lot of different factors that go into that. The freeboard of the boat is very important because
the
freeboard is basically from the water line where the side of the boat is at the water to the top where the height of the deck there. And that's a big part of it, as well as the master, the operator's ability to navigate the bar. And the speed of the vessel can also play a big factor because you can get on a wave and kind of follow that wave in and kind of what we call ride on the back of it and come in with the wave. That way you're not dropping over the face of it or the front of the wave, which can be very hazardous. Or if you're a slower vessel, have a wave overtake you from the back or the stern of the boat, which is very flat. So what happens is the wave will actually start pushing the boat forward and over the face of another wave, which can cause a broach or a capsize and turn the boat upside down.
So having more boat from the water level down is better, because it just affects the, what does it affect, the center of gravity or?
Right. And it affects the riding moment or the stability of the vessel. So we take all of those factors into consideration when we apply a bar restriction to limit the size of a vessel going in and out.
And is there usually, in general, is there a restriction at least once or twice a day?
In the wintertime, we're almost always restricted at some level. And once we get summertime and these conditions we're having now, we will usually see a restriction during the ebb at the height of that max ebb tide. And it's usually right in between that low point and that high point.
And I'm guessing that most of what you're seeing is fishing boats going in and out, right?
Right.
There are very few pleasure boats that
Right now, is a high commercial, or excuse me, a recreational time. You know, a lot of people trying to get out and get some bottom fish. Halibut season coming open tomorrow with a commercial halibut derby. So we'll see, we should see some bar activity tomorrow with some vessels trying to get out, as well as the ports up and down the coast.
Now, let's talk about general safety overall. Summertime, we see a lot more boats on the water, not just for fishing, but people just want to go out there and ride in the river or ride on the lakes and stuff like that. I was talking to David Huntington, and he says they put some new signs up that don't necessarily have a speed limit now, but they talk more about the wake or creating the wake. What are you guys? Are you guys going to be involved in policing some of that over the?
So all the vessels, any vessel on the water is responsible for their wake or the waves that that boat creates. Now, you see some small pleasure craft like a jet ski, for instance, at 40 or 50, 60 miles an hour. Those watercraft are very high speed and they create a very small wake. So there's been a lot of deliberation on should there be a wake restriction or a speed restriction. So that is usually a state enforced policy. We try as federal law enforcement, we don't usually enforce state law. We'll utilize the Oregon State Police or the Sheriff's Department for that. But what boaters need to remember, no matter what speed they're operating at, is the fact that any wake that their vessel creates, if that causes any damage, that mariner is responsible for that. So we encourage everybody to watch the wake of their vessel, no matter what speed they're transiting at.
Now, as far as federal enforcement, that what kind of things do you guys do as far as like community service oriented? As far as do you do safety checks, lifeboat checks? Do you do life jacket exchanges? Do you do any of that as far as
part we
of your
partner with the Coast Guard Auxiliary? We do enforcement checks. So our boarding officers and boarding team members will be out doing random vessel checks, and we're looking for life jackets and all the federal applicable things that apply to that size of vessel. They may be required to have 4 fire extinguishers or 2 fire extinguishers. Just depends on the size of the vessel and what they're required to have. If they were out in the ocean, they may need to have had visual distress signals or flares. So our boarding teams are doing enforcement. Now we have the Coast Guard Auxiliary, who does an amazing job at doing voluntary checks. So they're looking for all of the same stuff we are. However, there's no enforcement there. So if the auxiliary comes to your boat or you take your boat to the auxiliary and they do a courtesy safety check for you and you don't have all your stuff, they're just going to give you a piece of paper that says, get this. So if you are boarded by the Coast Guard, you'll have everything you need and there's no enforcement there.
Right. Well, that's a pretty cool thing that they offer then.
Absolutely. They do a great job of it. Our team at the local auxiliary here and out of the Eugene area does a tremendous job of being available whenever they can to ensure that our mariners are safe. They do a great job.
Now, in the past, things have changed over the years. Obviously, they've changed as far as, you know, from when we were kids, we rode in the back of a car without a seatbelt, you know, to now, to things are much more restrictive. And for safety reason, obviously so. But one of the things that is still very, very dangerous is operating a vehicle or a boat under the influence of intoxicants. Tell folks why that is so important to hold 100% to that.
You know, it doesn't only apply, you're exactly right, it doesn't only apply to just driving your vehicle. But, you know, a vehicle on the water, a boat, we don't have brakes, for one. You know, you can't just hit the brake and stop your boat. But it just... it slows your reaction level, as well as if you ended up in the water, you know, your body temperature can drop so quickly. That instant shock of being hot and sweaty on the outside, you go into that cold water, you instantly go into a shock. Your first reaction is to take a deep breath. If you're in the water, that's your first reaction. And what happens if you're underwater and you take that deep breath? You're immediately getting a massive amount of water intrusion into your lungs. And it rapidly will take someone's life. And so alcohol, you know, it affects people's judgment on the water and all of those things, the hot summer sun, the rocking and the motion of the boats. So we need to I know folks want to have alcohol. We ask them to say, hey, look, wait till you get home. If you're going to partake, wait till you get back to the dock. Everyone's home and safe. Go ahead and have a beverage at that point. But please just don't do it on the water.
Some simple safety tips that folks can use while they're out on the water this summer.
Number one, first and foremost, put a life jacket on. Make sure it's Coast Guard approved and that inside tag in there. Make sure it fits, it's tight, it's snug. always wear it. Sadly, just last year here in Florence, we lost a member of our community who did not have a life jacket on. And no, we'll never know if that would have made a difference or not. But why not have that? Why not have that on and wear it? You know, technology has come a long way. Life jackets fit. They're inflatable now. You know, no matter what your body type or size is, there is something out there to fit you. And that is really the number one most important priority for people to do. Second is to know the conditions that they're going to go out in or where they're going. Let someone know where they're going, when they're going to be back. Have a couple friends that know where you're going to be fishing, what type of boat you have, point of contact information for you, how to get in touch with you. Everyone should have, not required, but should have a VHF radio out there where they can either call for assistance or we can call out to them. And just to double check, maybe they're having a great day of fishing and aren't ready to come back yet. And someone, a wife or husband calls and says, hey, so-and-so isn't back yet. So we can reach out to them and make sure they're safe.
What has it meant to have Florence be a Coast Guard city for you guys?
Tremendous, tremendous. You know, sadly, a few months ago now, we went through the government shutdown. And we went about 36 days where federal employees weren't receiving a paycheck. And there is no better place to be than Florence during that time. The community members of Florence and the outlying communities, as far away as I've seen some names from Arizona that reside here part time of the year, that were sending donations through the Chief Petty Officers Association to benefit the members of the Coast Guard here in Florence. And it was awesome.
So I guess a huge thank you from you guys.
I have been trying to there's just, I just don't think thank you is enough. Right. You know, it's just, I couldn't imagine being anywhere else during that time. The community was just a tremendous support and still is, you know, what they do for the Coast Guard in this community, the retired law enforcement, the retired firefighters and state parks officials and military members in this community are amazing. And they treat us just like we were their sons or daughters. And you couldn't ask for anything more than that.
Senior Chief Bosun's mate, Jay Nillis, thank you so much for being here today and appreciate the tips. And we'll get the message out to folks.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Coming up on the July edition of Our Town, next we'll talk to the head football coach, the new head football coach at Siuslaw High School, Sam Johnson.